Let's see. We're going to finish this piece. Tana or Bonan? Mishaleach. That's the Ein Hashaleach. Mitama Vagadim. Right. So that. So right. So we'll shelve that machlokas for now. Okay. What that's referring to. Okay. But for now, let's assume. Let's focus on the main point, which is who's begadim become tame? The shaliach. Why? No. I meant why mitama begadim? The Torah says so. We don't know why. Okay, but there's, I think there's some idea that we can glean from it soon. Go on. Hamishaleach, which means what? I know what it means. What does it mean in this context? In other words, what's the Gemara saying? No? You guys did this. Yeah.
He's
not considered to be sent off, okay, until he's outside Yerushalayim. Go on. Right, but then if you tell me it's a shaliach, maybe you'll say it's until he gets to Tzok. Right? Tamlo v'hamishaleach. Right, ha ketzad. So, what does that mean? No, now the Gemara's explain. What does it mean? Shita number one. When is the guy's clothing become tame? The moment he exits Yerushalayim. Next, the walls of Yerushalayim. It's no, because the Torah says azazel v'chibes. So when is it? Achi gilatzok. It's meaning when he gets to the makom of Azazel, then what? The chiyuv of washing his clothing, meaning washing himself because he's wearing tamei begadim. That's where it emerges. Okay. Or. Which basically means what? When is begadim become tamei? When he throws it off. So now you have three possibilities. Either his begadim become tame when he leaves Yerushalayim, or his begadim become tame when he gets it soaked, or his begadim become tame when he throws the goat off. Okay, so now, what? Do you mean the overall havamina? Okay. What? You're right. And what about the azar? Okay, I'm talking the three positions. Machlokas. Forget the havamina. There's three. There's Rabbi Yehuda. What? There's Rabbi Yossi and there's Rabbi Shimon. Do you not see three people quoted? Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon. That's not, like, there's no trick there. They're three different positions. Right, it's not a position. It's a position in the Havamina. I think all three of them would agree with that Havamina. You understand? Yes, I agree. That's a good starting point. Oh, wait, I don't want to hear the answer yet. Hold on. We're not ready for that yet. Hold on. So, Torah says he's mitame begadim. Let's start from the beginning for a second, okay? So the first point to make is going to be, yes, Ellie's right about what he's saying about the Azara. But the first point to make is, but let's get to what the question is here. The question is what? What's the question? No. Question is, we're trying, okay. We know one thing. We know, according to the Torah, that his begadim become tame. That's the one fact we know. Do we care why? No. But what do we want to answer, though? What are we trying to answer here? What creates the tumah? Okay? And obviously what's going to create the tumah is going to be something attached to his shlichus. His status as a shaliach is what's going to generate the tumah. That's the first step to take. If you take, again, trying to show you guys how to think. Take one step, and now things become easier. So that's the step you got to take. The tumah, right, this status of his tumas begadim, has got to be attached to his definition as a shaliach. Now we could start tinkering around with, at what point are you going to say he's defined as shaliach? The easiest way to say would be havamina.
That he just breaks away from where he was before.
Right, because he was here, and the moment he leaves here, that's it. He's defined as shaliach.
One part is defined as taking it out of your shalach.
The first possible actualization of the shlichus of when he's appointed is going to be leaving the azar. That's the first moment where you can actually say he's functioning as a shaliach. Okay,
but that's functions of actualizing your shlichus.
Well, before you get to that, look, I want to make sure. I want to make sure that's clear for everybody. Though you understand, that's like such a critical thing. When you approach these areas, you got to find the opening. Okay, the first step. When you get a good first step, everything becomes a lot easier. First step here is going to be, what's the question? What are they grappling over? Well, in my opinion, what they're grappling over is what. In other words, the tumah has to be generated by something. What generates it? So it has to be attached to something. His shlichus. Now we can start arguing about when this definition of shlichus emerges. We can have a discussion about that. We can say, you can start thinking to yourself, yeah, I can see why he's considered shliach at this point, or that point, that point. Forget the grouping. Forget that for a second. You can start thinking that way. You understand? Okay, now what do you want to say? Well, hold on. Yes. Good. 1 second. So Gersi's saying good. So Gersi's saying that if you want to take my theory, you want to take this theory to the next step, what Gersi's going to say is, okay, well, it's when is his shliach going to, when is he going to be defined as a shliach, which now would produce by definition a tumas megadim, assuming you want to go down that road. You're going to say at some whenever he
starts the process.
Okay, but that's going to get a little confusing if you go down that road. But let's I'll play that.
I can explain.
Let me just give her what I want to say. Let's give her my approach. Okay, but it's a collection of various things you guys are saying, and I think put together in one simple thing. However, with one premise, I'll start with my premises. I'm not categorizing the way you guys are. I'm categorizing as the first guy against 2 and 3. Why? Because I think if I told you, I'm not defining it just descriptively. If I told you the most traditional, meaning halachic precedent of definition of shaliach, right? Which one would you go with of the three? First way, for sure, right? Meaning, when is he defined? When does his identity as shlichus emerge? Second, he leaves. He now identifies as shlichus. But what you're saying, and this is why I grouped the 2 and 3 together, which will make it a lot easier, is that that's not how we define him as shlichus. His shlichus is defined based on the consequences of his whatever he's doing. There's just two ways you can approach it. Do you look at it the normative way of a shliach, meaning the moment he's engaged, like a shluchim mitzvah? When does someone define a shluchim mitzvah? If I decide I want to go visit my Rebbe on Sukkot, the moment I leave, I'm now defined as a shluchim mitzvah. That's my definition. It's my identity. But the other ones are saying there's another way you can define shlichus, right? It's through consequence. Now, the effects. Now the question is like this. Within that, okay, if you agree with that, now it becomes very nice. Within the 2 and 3, there's two ways you can go, okay? You said it, you just don't realize it. One way is to say what? One way is the second way you're saying, which is that his shlichus includes the ma'isa. What's the other way you can go? When is he no longer defined? When is his shlichus, when would you say? More than that. He hasn't dropped it yet. No, he's there. He's there. What? What does that mean?
Process.
What?
When he's in the process of doing.
Because once he no longer, once he gets it soaked, what's he no longer doing?
Walking.
He's no longer escorting the animal. In other words, insofar as the consequences of a shlichus is concerned, do we look at it insofar as the actual mice of shlichus itself? Which means, what is shlichus here? It actually means, it's not just an abstract idea of shlichus, it actually means escorting the guy. A shliach mitzvah, just using the first case, that doesn't mean you're escorting anybody. It means you're going somewhere. You're going to perform a mitzvah. Here, it actually means, what are you doing? You're escorting the animal, right? Or you say, no, the more halakhic idea of shlichus, which is what? When he completes the maisa. But both of those are consequences of the shlichus, not his identity as a shlichus. If you go by the identity, it's going to have to be the moment he leaves. Rashi says the Gemara is very explicit. The Gemara says those who escort do not get. Well, I should say that. Rashi says according to the Gemara, those who escort are not metame begadim, meaning you would have thought they were. Whereas according to the Ritva says it's very subtle. The Ritva says no, it's the Kohen Gadol. I mean, for some reason you would have thought that the Kohen Gadol. Well, then you would have thought that the Kohen Gadol's begadim are tame, which is very odd. Which one makes more sense? Really? He's making the right step. Zev is saying you have to say in some way, that's a little more definitive, but in some way, that the Kohen Gadol is really a shaliach. Like, what does that mean? Meaning what? It's good, but meaning. Okay, so it's even stronger than that, Nahami. Make it stronger. It's very simple. In other words, if you really, if you understand the way the Seder Avodah of Yom Kippur was set about, right? Who's supposed to take the Seder to Azazel? The Kohen Gadol, right? And that's his job. He is the person chai to do all the Avodah. There's only one problem, though.
He can't.
Right? He's not able to leave the Mikdash and do this. He can't. So the Havin is going to say what? Since really... Right. Right. So therefore, then of course the Kohen Gadol should be Tameh. Okay. So what's the Maskana? Maybe you're going to say that it's through his appointing other shaliach that what's he now doing? What's the Maskana? The Maskana is going to say that in appointing him, what happens? Right. In other words, his shlichus is now transferred from him to this guy. He's chayiv in that avoda, but he's transferring the chayiv over to the shaliach. The Maskana is going to say that what's he doing? It seems that way. Now, if you say so, right.
Oh,
right.
You want to say it's his shlichus, this is the way he's doing it.
Exactly.
He's so different than like a leash, you know?
Right. Then,
like a leash, if he's a
shlichus. Yeah, exactly. Right.
So you say both the shlichus, the real shlichus, and the cholera are both causes of the...
Correct.
Also, it's true, both causes, but the shlichus are two physical.
I'll go further than that. I'd say that the moment he appoints a shlichus, he's transferring over any of his responsibility onto this guy. So there's no idea of Thomas Begadim anymore. Right. You're positing that if you want to learn that it's a Havina and only Rabbi Yehuda, which therefore limited to only the issue of leaving Yerushalayim, meaning Chomos Yerushalayim. Do you want to posit that?
Rabbi Yehuda holds this when you have positive quality of being a shliach of the trip, you're on the trip.
And why does that express itself also in the? Why do you think it expresses itself also in the? The escorts.
Oh, they're going on the same trip.
What?
They're going on the same trip.
He said, Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't say that.
I'm trying to say that is the obvious.
The reason it's when you start the church is because you partake in the quality of the shlichus. So you would agree if you somehow.